Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Hallelujah. There's a phrase that Mary spoke. She said, "Let it be to me according to your word." I'm sure all of you have heard that. That's a phrase, that was her response to the word of God given to her by the angel of the Lord. Her response was, "Let it be to me according to your word." And saints, that is a good example. And we're going to see here that she went through a process. And we also will have to go through a process unless there's a gift of the Spirit, gift of healing or something. But usually we'll have to, God's best, do you know God's best is for you to believe His Word? Right. His best is just take Him at His Word. Right. He gets the greatest glory out of that more than anything. Because He's exalted His Word above His name. All of His name. His Word is exalted. So when you act on His Word, like Mary, what we're going to see here in this story, Mary just acts on the Word. And it doesn't have to be difficult. It is not difficult. The enemy may tell you, "Oh, it's hard. It's, you know, it's going to take years." And you're Mary, we're going to see here, Mary is a teenager. Mary wasn't that old. Let that set into your mind before we even get started. She's young. But she does know the Word. But it doesn't have to take 20 or 30 years. Come on. Amen. Turn with me, Luke chapter 1. We'll start with verse 28. Luke 1, 28. Are you there? And it says, "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one.'" Now this is interesting because there's only two places this word "highly favored" is only in the Bible, two places. If you look this in your Strong's, it's only in two places. In here, and it's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, where it says that we are accepted in the beloved. That means highly favored in Him, in the beloved. So it's saying to Mary that she's highly favored, but we are too. You got to remind yourself you're highly favored of the Lord. You're not on the low end of the stick here. You're seated in heavenly places in Him, with Him, in heavenly places. So actually, we're in a better shape, better position than what Mary is right here. Now, later on, she's going to receive salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But right here, she's not born again yet. So we can say right now that we're in a better position than what she is. Hallelujah. Think about that. You're in Christ. I think a lot of times we need to meditate on that even more. Who we are in Him. Amen. So let's go on. It says, so notice it says, the angel says, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Now notice the very first thing He tells Mary is to rejoice. Now listen. Listen to me now. The angel has not even given her a word yet. Think about this. So I believe, according to this, when He said rejoice, what is He doing? This is a command. Rejoice, highly favored. Rejoice. He's preparing the ground. When you rejoice, when you give God praise, when you're thanking God, listen, this should be our lifestyle. This is a lifestyle. So what is the angel doing to Mary? He's preparing the ground for her to receive. What? The Word. This angel has a message for her. So the first thing he says to Mary, Mary, I want to get you in a position. I want you to position so you're going, I want you to rejoice. What that rejoicing does, it breaks up that hard ground. Praise. The tribe of Judah, praise. You breaking up that fallow ground, that hard ground. The Bible says to rejoice. The Bible says to delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? It means to be soft and pliable. When your ground on your heart, when it's soft and pliable, it's very acceptable to seed. I remember a couple years ago, it wasn't last year, the ground, we didn't time it right, but the year before, we timed it just right. We tilled up the garden, and I could run my hands through that ground, and I could take the dirt and kind of mold it. It was really pliable, but yet it wasn't soggy, it wasn't wet, it was a perfect condition for the seed. We had a bumper crop that year. I mean, it just, everything went bang, bang, bang. So we're starting off. This is a process. So we can do the same thing. We can start rejoicing, praising God, being thankful. What Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he says again in Thessalonians, rejoice always. Huh, sounds like a lifestyle. So what's the Lord trying to tell us? It's His will. So He wants us to have a garden that will take the seed of His Word. I'm telling you a lot. Don't miss this step. This is the first step she's going through. She is to rejoice before she receives the Word. And then, we can even say this, before she has manifestation. In other words, just keep yourself in the rejoicing mode. You remember what God told Sarah? Sarah and Abraham. God told Sarah, she was barren, right? She has no child. What does God say to her? You got issues in your life, things that are barren? Well, what God told Sarah, you read this in Isaiah 51, verse 1, and it also Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 4. He said, he told Sarah to break through with singing and rejoicing while she's barren. See, that doesn't even make sense to the natural mind. Well, you tell you, I got to rejoice, and I don't even have the answer yet. Rejoice. See, that's the release of faith. That's your attitude of faith in action. When you're rejoicing, that's a verb. That means it's an action word. It's not to sit idle. So it's gonna cost you something. There's a lot of times when your body don't want to do that. It's a sacrifice of praise. But the Lord told her to rejoice, Sarah. I'm talking about Sarah now. See, they kind of, it's the same pattern. When you're barren, when you're not seeing results, start rejoicing. Break through with singing and rejoicing before you become pregnant. That is a key. That is the first step. We need to get down and write it down, get it in your mind. That's the first step. The first response is get the heart ready. Get your ground ready. Man, because what? You're building some expectation in your life. You're excited. The Word, if I could just get that Word in me. It will produce. There will be a performance. God is not a liar. He watches over His Word actively, alert, watching over His Word to do what? To perform. He wants that Word in you so He can perform. But if it's not in you, which is the first step, there's nothing for Him to watch over. So God takes delight, pleasure in your prosperity. He wants that Word in you, so He wants to be Father over you. He wants to show off. Just like you do, you know, we had kids. We had grown, you know, we had four beautiful girls. And there was times I like to show off. Flex my muscle. This is Dad. Well, God loves to show off to His children. He loves to give you gifts. He loves to do these things for us. So the first step is prepare the ground. Get the ground ready. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Hallelujah. Verse 31. Let's go verse 31. Now she's ready for the word. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One, which is to be born, will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. Now listen to verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. The Amplified Bible says, or the Greek says, no word from God shall be without power. So verse 37 again. For with God, what? Nothing. Nothing will be impossible. Now stop right there. The angel has just delivered the message. Has he left yet? Why would he be hanging around? Just think about that a minute. He's hanging around Mary. He's wanting, listen to me, he's wanting a response. Listen, yes, faith cometh by hearing. But that does not mean that you received it in your heart. Now it's come to you. Now you have to make a choice. Either she's going to mix faith with that or unbelief with that. There is really no in between here. She chooses. Just like we have a choice. We don't want to stop at just hearing. We want to be a doer. So we just don't want to stop at the hearing, even though the hearing is the first step. We've got to be in a position to hear. But yet, once we hear, we don't want to stop. We want to take that word that we heard and receive that word. Now, how do you know if you received? And we're going to sit right here. She makes a decision to say something. The angel is waiting for words. Don't tell me words aren't important. The angel's hanging around. Go to verse 38. Then Mary said, here it is. This is what the angel's waiting for. Behold, the maidservant of the, such a humble spirit. The maidservant of the Lord, Here it is. Let it be to me according to your word. Now, how did the angel respond? He's gone. Done. Mission accomplished. There's nothing else to say. She accepted the word. This is when she conceived the word. I said, this is when she conceived the word in her. This is huge. In other words, by her response, she took ownership of that word and made it hers. You have to make it your own. It has to be personal. She said, let it be to me. She took ownership of it. That was when the Holy Spirit, I believe, when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And she became pregnant with the Word. Do you see that? So we're going through steps. So the first step was what? Rejoicing. She prepared the ground. Now she's heard the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. And she has to make a response to that Word by receiving that Word. She's making it her own when she said, be it unto me according to your Word. Saints, that's huge. That's when she took ownership. Same with us. We're believing for healing. We're believing for finances, whatever you're believing for. Of course, you've got to be standing on Scripture. Come on. You got to have Scripture to have faith. But you can make it your own. You decide that. Now, here's the thing. How long does it take her to do this? She's pretty quick about it. She didn't hem-haw around about it. It looks like, and we just read it, it looks like bang, bang, bang. She just accepted the word. See, I'm convinced, and I talked a little bit about this with Pastor Mark, I'm convinced she's at a young age. She hasn't been around a whole lot of religion. She's operating out of a more pure faith. There's something about if you just keep your faith pure. Don't mix anything with it. Keep it pure. Keep it simple. A lot of times, I did this years ago. I just made it more complicated. Just keep it simple. Jesus did everything really simple. Amen. So she made it her own. Faith cometh by hearing. So she accepted the word. Now here it is. It's nothing to do with your feelings. Not a thing. Not a thing to do with the natural. Not what she's feeling. Not what she's looking at. I mean, she's looking at an angel. But it's the word. She accepted the word. Well, Brother Chuck, I would too. If an angel would show up on my doorsteps, I would believe that too. So what's the deal with that? How come God don't send me an angel? Well, just because God sends an angel doesn't mean you're going to have a positive response. Look back over here at verse 6. We have a guy named Zacharias. It says a priest named Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth both. Listen to this. We have a priest named Zacharias and a wife, his wife named Elizabeth. It says here, they were both righteous before God, walking in all his ways, blameless before the Lord. Verse 11, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. The very same angel. So we have here, let's go on with this. Verse 13, an angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer has been heard. Hallelujah. your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him, name him John. Well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, that's not what he said, is it? You would think he would have said something like that. Well, it's been a long time, but I've been waiting. Hallelujah. But it's not the case. Same angel, but his response was not in faith. His response, how can this be? How in the world? I'm old. My wife's old. Have you seen my wife? She's old. I mean, are you kidding me? See, listen, at one time, he had a dream. At one time, he believed God. Angel shows up. God's answered your prayer. It can't be. No way. God had to shut his mouth. So again, don't tell me words aren't important. And it goes on. Let's go, actually, verse 20. Let's see. Yeah, verse 20, it says, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place. In other words, it's going to take place, all right. But God had to zip him up because words dominate. He can mess things up. So he just zips him up, right? It goes on. Now go fast forward to verse 63. Well, actually, let's just go down to 64. In other words, 63, well, put it this way. Verse 63. Once Zacharias gets in agreement with God. See, that's what God's looking for. Agreement. Once he gets in agreement with God, then we read 64, and immediately his mouth was open, tongue loose, and he spoke praising God. Now, here it is. He's praising God because of the response. God wants praises on both sides. Before, remember, he told Mary to rejoice. And we're going to see later, Mary continues to rejoice. And we have Zacharias. They can't be. But then, towards the end, after the manifestation, oh yeah, praise God. Anybody can do that. You remember the children of Israel? They come out of Egypt, out of bondage, and they come to the Red Sea. You think they'd be rejoicing just because they came out of bondage, all the miracles that they saw. But what'd they do? They complained. They complained. But God's merciful. God split the Red Sea. They marched over to the other side. Then they danced and sung and praised God. Well, wait a minute, what about the other side? You're supposed to be praising God before the manifestation and after, which you should, but you should be praising. This takes more faith over here. When you don't see nothing in the natural, that is faith. Anybody can give praise over here. But we'll get both these together. See, this is walking by faith. See, Zacharias should have knew better. Because when the angel came to him and he said, there's no way. So what's he doing? He's considering his body. He's considering his wife, Elizabeth. He knows about Abraham. He knows about the story of Abraham. Abraham considered not his body, considered not. He knew all about that inside and out, but yet he's not walking in what he knows. Mary is walking in faith. Mary doesn't have any manifestation whatsoever. But she accepts the word. In other words, we call that mixing faith. Taking words and mixing faith. And she conceived the word in her. So the next step, let's go to verse, let's see. Verse 39, chapter 1, verse 39, it says, Now Mary arose in those days and went to the high country with haste to the city of Judah. Now listen now. So she's got the word. She received the word. She's acting on the word. Now listen, when you receive the word, she's pregnant with the word now, right? She's got the word. It's in her. The very first thing she does, now this is another important step, is in verse, we just started reading. The very first thing she does is to go and visit Elizabeth. The very first step. Other words, she's going to go to someone who is like-minded. To someone who's going through the same thing. Other words, I take this, the very first thing she did, she went to church. What is she doing? As we read on here, they start exhorting one another. Saints, you need to be in church more than what you think. There was a guy at work I used to work with, and he said, "Well, you know, I'm saved." Of course, we have talks every now and then. He goes, "I'm saved," and he knows what buttons to push on me. He goes, "I don't have to go to church. I'm saved. I don't have to go to church." And I said, "Yeah, you're saved. You don't have to go to church. I can't argue with that. I mean, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You call upon His name. You believe God raised Him from the dead. You shall be saved. I believe it. Yeah, you don't. It's not a bunch of works." But I asked him, I said, "But here's the thing. Why don't you want to be in church? What's wrong with the church people? Why come you don't want to be with them?" He had no answer. Because deep down, he knows he should be in church. Now, I'm not taking it into extremes like, I go to church. You know I go to church every Sunday. You want to see my badges? We've had that before, you know, the church, first church we went to. And nothing wrong with that. But some of them had a bunch of stuff. And, you know, even then, we just went there. We were just going there within 6 months. And I thought that was kind of strange myself. You know, I thought to myself, well, I would not wear that. But you know. But anyway, so first thing she does is she's hanging around with Elizabeth. Verse 39, verse 40, it says, "And entered to the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and begins to prophesy." It sounds like they're having church. Come on, hallelujah. In verse 42, "Then she spoke out with a loud voice, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy.'" Verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed." Stop right there. Blessed is she who believed. Now here's the test. When did she believe? When did she take it? What point was that? You have to go back to verse 38. When she responded with, "Be it unto me according to your word." That was the reference point. That's the point where she believed. Past tense, right? Past tense. There always has to be that reference point. There's always has to be a point when you in your life that this is where I believed. That's my point that never moves. And I'm going forth from that point, whatever it may be. That is set. That's when it's in you. The word's in you. Now it goes on. Then it goes on to say, "For there will be," stop, "will be," now he went from past tense to future tense. Now it's talking about hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They don't see a thing, do they? Mary doesn't see a thing. Now, Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant, but Mary doesn't have anything yet. But she's got hope. I know Kenneth Hagin used to say this. When people's asking you, "Where's it at?" You believe in God for something, and you know you always got someone. Well, where's it at? You believe in God for something, where's it at? He said, just tell them, "My faith is giving substance to the things hoped for. My faith's working on it. It's working. It's giving substance to the things hoped for." Future tense. I have an expected end. I got joy. I'm pregnant. I have an expectancy. There's a due date coming. I believe God. I have an expectancy. My reference point is set. The thermostat's set. I'm on my way. Right? Well, wasn't Zacharias at that point at one time? Zacharias believed God. God heard his prayer. He had a reference point at one time. But what happened? Time. 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 By the time the angel gets there, he's kind of forgotten. He's like, that was years ago. But God hadn't forgotten. That's the mercies of God. Thank God for his mercies. He's been merciful to me. But the point is, He had his reference point was set, but he was messing with the thermostat. Don't mess with the thermostat. It's set. He should have been expecting a child. He should not have been surprised. Well, I guess you'd be surprised if an angel showed up, but he should have said, yeah, I didn't expect an angel, but yeah, I've been expecting. That'd be a testimony. So let's go back. Let's go on here. It says, okay, so she has the word. Now here it is. Now listen to me. When you have the word in you, you're expecting, you don't have manifestation yet, but listen, this is where the battle begins. This is where the battle begins. Because, you know, we can say a lot of things, but when you receive the word, that's what, like Pastor Mark's talking about, today's Wednesday, last Sunday, talking about fighting the good fight of faith. This is where you're going to stay in the arena of faith. There's always a due date. The enemy knows that. That's when he comes hard against you. He doesn't want you reaching your due date. He doesn't want you to have that manifestation. Because when it shows up, honey, it's there. You don't need faith for it anymore. It's there. So he tries to get you out of that arena of faith at all cost. So you have to remember Mary is not, you know, just because, well, yeah, she's highly favored of the Lord. Hey, listen, she's got some issues. Come on, she's got Joseph. Joseph wants to divorce her. You serious? Yeah, he's thinking about ways, you know, I mean. But Mary doesn't get involved with that. You know, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Mary just, oh, the Lord's going to handle this. She doesn't try to explain it to Joseph. You have a king trying to kill her child. Ha-ha, that's getting serious stuff now. But here it is. God works it all out. He works it all out. If we'd let him be God, let him do the performing, let him do his performance, it'll work out. A lot of times we try to help him. No, just do what the Word says. Stick with the Word. Amen? In verse 46, let's go to verse 46. And Mary said, now listen, here we go. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. Verse 47, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. And this is the second time we see the word rejoice. The first time we talked about when she heard the word rejoice, God's preparing the heart to receive the seed. Now she has the seed. Now she's rejoicing. Hold it now. Does she have manifestation yet? No. But she's rejoicing. What is she doing? Saints, listen. You continue to rejoice. You continue to praise until you have full manifestation. So she's rejoicing again. What is it doing? Listen, it's putting you in a birthing position to birth the promise of God. If you're not rejoicing, you're out of position. You're not in a position to give birth. You have to get in position. That's where praise and worship is so vital. You're not going to go very far without it. It's the greatest expression of your faith. It's the highest expression. When you give thanks, praise, thanksgiving, and rejoicing, you're putting your that's showing God, and by your words, you're putting yourself in a position to give birth to whatever you're believing for. This, saints, this, all this, well, everything I'm talking to you about, this doesn't happen by accident. Mary doesn't get, well, we get to chapter 2 in just a minute, but Mary doesn't get to chapter 2 by accident. Her rejoicing put her in a place to receive and a place to give birth. Not one time did I see Mary complaining. Not one time did I see her raising up her hands and said, forget it. No, no way. She's in us all. When this in verse 46, 47, saints, this is radical. This is not just a simple hallelujah, praise. This is getting radical. It's in her soul and spirit. See, here's the question. How serious are you? How bad do you want it? Are you going by feelings? Are you going by what the Word says? Do you have the Word in you? If so, I mean, continue to praise. Continue to rejoice. See, a lot of times, well, I don't really want to hear that. I really want to hear. I say, if you get hold of this, I guarantee you, you're going to see results. It keeps you in the faith game. I don't know if I should really say that, but it keeps you in the faith arena. The enemy's going to come at you. Anytime, like Pastor Mark talking about illumination, you get illumination, you get a revelation. Because you get a revelation of something, the enemy comes hard at that, because that revelation will bring manifestation. That revelation is faith food, man. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to skip this. And you read on down through verses 49 through 50, on down. This lady knows the word. It's not like it's by accident. She knows the word. Saints, you have to know the word. The more you know, the better you are. Now let's close with this. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Hope you're getting something tonight. Luke chapter 2, we'll go with verse 6. And I'm going to read this one out, this phrase, this verse out of the Amplified Bible. And it says, while they were there in Bethlehem, the time came. Like I said before, there's always a due season. When Joanna was pregnant with the girls, there's always a due date. And if the due date is too soon, you didn't want the date. If the date was at a certain day, you don't want 2-3 months before the date. That's usually a bad thing, because you'd have a premature baby. You want the full term. So here it is. Don't get so upset when you don't see results right off the bat. Due season come. It is coming. Your due date is set. Your job is to believe. God is the performer. He watches over His word to do what? To perform. You don't perform. You do what the word says. You're a doer of the word, but God brings the increase. He's the one. Don't get the two mixed up. When I first started, I thought I was the one. I have to do this. I have to bring us the fast. You know, I got to do this, this, and do all these Pentecostal maneuvers. I thought, man, that's wearing me out. Then I read some of Kenneth Hagin books, and he talked about just, you know, faith has a rest. I thought, well, that sounds a whole lot better. I just rest in what he said, believe it, and let him perform. And you know, that's a lot better. Galatians 6:9, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If you don't faint, you'll reap. Amen. So, the time will come for her to give birth. Verse 7, and she gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there's no room at the inn. Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor Chuck, how simple? I mean, is it that simple? Yeah, it is. If you just stick with the word, it'll take you all the way through to your due date, and you'll give birth. But the question is, you're going to have to stay in the arena of faith, and you're going to have to put a smile on your face, and you're going to have to rejoice. Give thanks, give praise, all the way through. You mean all the way through? All the way through. If you do it right, in faith, I guarantee you, you'll find joy. There's a joy about it. Because you believe in the Word so much, you have so much faith in the Word, you have such a high expectancy of it. Yeah, just like in natural labor, there are pains. And I believe there, and a lot of that is true in the spiritual too. Right before you're giving birth in the spirit, a lot of times the enemy will come harder against you. Because why? Because the manifestation is about to show. It's about to pop out. So yes, if it's getting harder, if it's getting, if it's, you say, well, Pastor, it really seems to be hard. Well, it could be you're really close. I mean, that close. But I take the attitude of Kenneth Hagin. I don't really care if it takes 100 years. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You'd be in heaven. That's right. I don't care. That's the attitude I got. That's the bulldog type attitude. I don't care if it takes 100 years. I believe God. It. So what am I going to do? I'm going to give Him the praise. I'm going to rejoice all the way through it. Even when I don't feel like it, I'm going to rejoice. So what are you going to do? You're going to rejoice. You're going to take the Word. You're going to take ownership of the Word. Make it your own. And then you take that Word and you just start rejoicing. You start believing God. You show up in church. Oh, do I have to show up in church? Well, you should want to. Now, I have to admit, when it gets really cold on a Wednesday night, and I'm talking when it's in the teens, my body doesn't want to get out of the house. We have a wood stove downstairs, and we get it cranking. It's 80 degrees. Usually sometimes 81, it's hitting 81. I call that the tropics. I mean, my body likes that. And then I'm thinking, man, the body says, Chuck, do you really want to go to church on Wednesday night? It's 13 degrees and, you know, you'd be by that stove. Yeah, that's my body talking. No, we're going to church. Right. I'm probably the only one that has to fight that. I really don't want to miss. I know, but Brother Chuck, you can listen to it online. I'm just not an online guy. There's something about online. It'll put me out in about 10 minutes. I'm out. I have to actually walk around and listen. I just can't get into it. I have to be live. Something about being live. Amen. You get anything tonight? Amen. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.